Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Thanks for joining us on this Christmas Eve day, and we want to look back now on some of the big international stories of the year with two top journalists, Ray Suarez, host of Al Jazeera America's daily news program Inside Story. He's in Washington. Hi, Ray.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
And joining us from London is Christian Amanpour, chief international correspondent with CNN and host of Amanpour. Christian, welcome to you.
And it's good to be with you as well.
And let's start with you. What was the most important news story of 2015 in your view, Christian?
Well, absolutely a slam dunk in every wrong and bad way possible was Syria. There is no doubt that Syria has dominated the world news for not just this year, but perhaps especially this year, but for the past 4.5 years. And it has, you've seen, had so much reverberation, whether it's the refugee crisis, whether it's terrorism, all that backlash. And now it is so much part of the presidential election in the United States. And the fact that this has not been resolved or even pushed forward towards resolution is deeply, deeply worrying.
And the fact that we have seen ISIS attacks in Western cities, you know, we spoke with Annick Kojan, who's a special correspondent with Le Monde in Paris after the attacks there. I just want to play a little clip of what she told us about the mood in Paris.
Yes, we are afraid. Of course, even on the windows of big shops, etc., it's written, we are not afraid. But we are. Of course we are. But we try not to show that.
Christian, how has the attitude changed, do you think, in European cities and across the West as a result of these really dramatic attacks?
Well, you know, sadly, 2015 started with a terrible terrorist attack in Paris against Charlie Hebdo. That was a combination Al-Qaeda and ISIS. And people thought maybe that was a one-off. And the Parisians and the French and Europeans and the whole world really came together to say, no, this is not all right. But, you know, they thought maybe, well, these are journalists and maybe they had it coming, which is, of course, unacceptable to somebody like me. But nonetheless, that was what was going on. Then to see this happen at the end of the year in Paris against ordinary people, people young, old, middle-aged at a football stadium. This was an attack on the, you know, the whole people of France. And that obviously had a much deeper impact. But it also had a much deeper impact around the world because suddenly citizens all over Europe, citizens all over the United States, people all over the world could see that this was not a movement that was petering out. This ISIS is a movement that is continuing, and people now see that the backlash, the inability to wrestle with this massive problem is not just a local Middle East Syria issue. It is regional, it is European, it is United States, it's worldwide.
Ray Suarez, what about you? Biggest story of the year for you?
You know, I have to go along with Christian on Syria, but as I think back at 2015, it's really Syria as a magnetic north that makes all these other stories line up around it. Whether it's Greece drowning in debt, but also dealing with the refugee crisis at the same time. Boko Haram pledging its allegiance to the Islamic State and causing havoc in northeastern Nigeria and two other neighboring countries, threatening to turn it into a regional conflagration. The alliance of Gulf states, Arabian Peninsula states, that is coalescing around fighting the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq is making this into a mini world war. And even the Iran nuke deal, which is in many ways a separate story, an initiative between the P5 plus one and the Islamic Republic, has emanations, reverberations of the growing war in Syria and Western Iraq as part of it, as Russia gets involved in Syria, as it tightens its alliances with the Assad should stay coalition, for want of a better term. You can tease it out into a bunch of different stories, but in a way, it's really all one great big story.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Iran nuclear deal. This was with six world powers in July, lift economic sanctions on Iran while putting curbs on the nuclear program there. Here's John Kerry talking about that deal.
The adoption and implementation of this agreement will cement the support of the international community behind a plan to ensure that Iran does not ever acquire or possess a nuclear weapon.
Ray, how does Iran end the year with regards to its relationship with the United States? Do we have a good relationship with Iran now?
Well, better than none, but if the Iran ambitions are to be watched closely, it's not encouraging. Just weeks out from the closing of the deal with the P5 plus one, these very provocative missile tests, and, you know, we're looking for signs of whether Iran is going to keep its end of the bargain in return for its frozen assets around the world being released. We're going to have to wait till 2016 to see whether that happens.
Just to jump in and say, it's an important story. It is a very constructive development. And while, of course, it's not all, you know, love and peace between the United States and Iran, or indeed between Iran and some of its regional adversaries, it is a major, major step forward. And I thought what was really interesting at the end of this year, the IAEA, which is the UN's nuclear body, the nuclear agency there, gave Iran a sign-off of a clean bill of health, if you like, reaffirming that there had been some test towards some kind of attempt to perhaps militarize some of its nuclear program, but that had ended more than a decade ago, and there were no serious attempts since then. And now we'll see what happens between Iran and the rest of the world. But most importantly for me, I think also, inside Iran, Iran is a country of massive potential, a massively young population, people who are so much more friendly to the West than many of the so-called U.S. Arab allies are. And I think it's a huge, huge issue to see what will happen now inside Iran. But I think for the Obama administration, which has failed so terribly with Syria, it was a definite plus, the Iran deal, as was, of course, the normalization of relations with Cuba. And, of course, at the end of this year, the amazing climate deal that was achieved in Paris. And imagine that was achieved in Paris, all these world leaders within 2 weeks of that terrible massacre in the heart of the city. It was really a triumph, the climate deal. But of course, like the Iran deal, that also the proof is in the implementation.
But when you look at these two power centers now, Iran and Saudi Arabia in the region, I wonder, you know, for a long time, it was sort of thought that if there could be a peace deal between the Israelis and the Palestinians, it would somehow make the entire region a bit more peaceful. But now, is there any one thing that can bring peace to this region? I'll go back to you, Ray.
It is a puzzle where you can't put one piece down at a time, because the interlocking relationships require that you do multiple things at once. I was very encouraged when the Saudis countenanced. Now, they didn't approve, they didn't green light, they didn't accept with open arms, but countenanced Iran being involved in the multi-party talks over the future of Syria. It was a quiet but significant diplomatic step forward. But right now, Yemen and its future is being sacrificed to the wider ambitions of regional powers as a very small, very poor, and really badly led country is being dismembered and destroyed, even as our attention is going somewhere else.
Christian?
Well, I think that's true to an extent. I think, you know, the Obama administration came in thinking that the Middle East didn't need as much attention as U.S. presidents had given it in the past, only to be confronted by the constant reality, which is that the Middle East needs U.S. attention front and center all the time. And so it's really suffered by the sort of hands-off. And I know the United States and the rest of the world has sort of swung from the over-interventionist Bush administration, but all the way over to the under-interventionist Obama administration, where action created so much havoc after 9/11. Now, inaction has caused equal havoc and slaughter and mass murder and huge reverberations, in other words, the inaction by the United States and the West in Syria. And I think that's a real bad mark, and I think the West will be judged by what happens in Syria. We haven't talked about President Putin and Russia, which continues to play a spoilers game, and I think this is something that, again, the West hasn't fully grappled with, the power of President Putin and the fact that he is not on board the West's, you know, even the sort of modicum of a policy they may now be developing towards Syria. President Putin, his military intervention is not in line with the U.S. and the rest of those who are intervening. So it's very, very difficult to see exactly how this is going to work out.
Ray, from your perspective, what haven't we talked about? What's a big international story that we haven't touched on?
You know, there are all kinds of things that happened during 2015 that these stories sort of blot out the sky. So you forget things. Christiane mentioned briefly the opening of relations with Cuba after a half century thaw, the amazing reverberations that the German wings crash sent out through anybody who takes an airplane anywhere, the terrible attack on the school in northern Kenya that killed 147 people and injured more than 100 others, the election of a new parliament in Venezuela, which presents a real challenge to the Maduro government and the legacy of Hugo Chavez in an important regional country and one that is bound to have a very difficult 2016. The chickens economically are coming home to roost, and $38 a barrel oil is not helping.
Ray Suarez of Al Jazeera America and Christiane Amanpour, Chief International Correspondent with CNN. Thank you so much for wrapping up some of the big stories of 2015 internationally with us.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Jeremy.